Welcome to the Power of Showing Up podcast, brought to you by Raise Foundation, the experts in youth mentoring. My name is Dan Davis, and I'm the host of this podcast and a program counselor at Raise. Today, I'm speaking to Margot Ward. She is the founder and CEO of Kids Express. And in today's episode, you will learn what a trauma-informed approach is, how you can be trauma-informed throughout all your interactions with friends, family, and the wider community. And you will also learn why a trauma-informed approach is crucial for all of us to understand. Margot, thank you so much for joining us on the Power of Showing Up podcast. I'm really curious to hear more about a trauma-informed approach, and I think it's extremely crucial for people out there that are supporting young people who might not know too much about a trauma-informed approach. Hopefully we can kind of give people some insights into what that looks like and how supporters, carers, schools, and even other peers might be able to support young people. So just can we start off by getting a sense of what a trauma-informed approach looks like when we are supporting young people?
Sure. And thank you so much, Dan, for the opportunity. I actually think the title of your podcast, The Power of Showing Up, is so connected to how we actually need to provide a trauma-informed approach in all aspects of dealing with young people. Because in The Power of Showing Up, it is understanding what sits underneath behaviours rather than trying to manage the behaviours. So when we talk about a trauma-informed approach, the first and most critical point is actually understanding what trauma looks like and how trauma presents itself, but what sits underneath that? What is the cause of that trauma? In a trauma-informed approach, we really look at what the impact of adverse childhood experiences, a well-known study that was actually started in 1985, but has taken such a long time to actually get to Australia's shores. Understanding adversity and trauma in childhood and how the compounding nature of multiple ACEs or adverse childhood experiences can lead to destructive behaviour, can lead to behaviour that causes young people to withdraw, can lead to young people doing all sorts of risk-taking behaviour that is not normal adolescent behaviour. So often what I find, Dan, is people think their trauma-informed approach is in managing that behaviour. The approach using true trauma-informed is, first of all, understanding how trauma and adversity impacts the young brain, the child's brain. Understanding that if we are truly to look at both early intervention and, really importantly, prevention, all the evidence globally leads to us actually having prevention strategies and early intervention in childhood, not just in adolescence and not just in adulthood. So often I find the trauma-informed approach is actually sitting at the bottom of the cliff. We've got all the services at the bottom of the cliff waiting for human beings to fall into the bottom of the cliff. We need to go and understand the reason why, and the why often exists in childhood. So the power of showing up, and the very first example of using trauma-informed approach is to become educated. Understanding that a child does not wake up every day wanting to make our lives as parents, as aunts, as uncles, as neighbours, as teachers, as anybody working with children, young people. A child does not wake up wanting to make our day difficult. A child does not wake up thinking, I'm going to be really disruptive in class today. A child wakes up wanting connection. That is what trauma-informed approach is all about, is understanding the impact of adversity and trauma and the need for children and young people and even us as adults, the true nature of understanding that we need connection and we need safety. So in a really tight nutshell, that's what a trauma-informed approach is, understanding and then actually being able to see what children are really presenting to us, are really showing us what they need. And as I've already said, that's always about they want connection and they want to feel safe.
Yeah, 100%. And I think one thing I've noticed through my counselling work and even working at Raise with the youth is that a lot of the time behaviours are labelled as good or bad, but behaviour is just another way of communicating something. And that's kind of what you're alluding to there, that behaviour is just more information for us as supporters and carers to understand that, you know, maybe there's something deeper, maybe there's something else going on. And it's not just labelled as a bad behaviour, but it's misunderstood potentially. There's something going on deeper that maybe we haven't dived into.
Yeah, Dan, I can't I can't agree with you more. And so often you hear people say they're just a bad kid or they're just trying to seek attention. Well, yeah, they're not a bad kid. They're just trying to get your attention. And they might not know the best way to do that because of their adversity or trauma or because of how it's been role modelled. But when we truly sit and ask the right questions and ask the questions through curiosity, I wonder why that's the behaviour you're bringing to school today, or I wonder why that's the behaviour that you're showing your friends today. I wonder what's really going on, or what might have happened last night, or what happened over breakfast. Being curious about what really sits within a child's life or a young person's life, that's where we can significantly shift that behaviour. And also, Dan, it's not just asking once. Sometimes we have to sit in that space for a long time before we actually, that child will feel safe enough to actually talk about what's going on. Or in our case with Kids Express, we use the expressive modalities. They might not be able to say it with words. They might have to show us in a different way. They might have to use art. They might have to use drama, or they might have to use music, etc. But if their only outlet is to use negative behaviour, and they think that's how they get attention, that's what will continue to grow, and that will continue to be the coping strategy they use in life.
Yeah, 100%. So just in the sense of, like, practically speaking, for people listening in who might have noticed certain behaviours and noticed that they might have taken more of an approach of labelling and not sitting and creating that space, like, what kind of things can supportive people out there, carers, you know, schools, whatever else it may be, like, what kind of things can they do to support a young person?
I think in the moment it's often quite difficult. In the moment, particularly if you're a parent that's also dealing with, you know, your own stresses in life and maybe your own childhood, etc., using box breathing, I recommend it all the time, is a really important thing to do, is just use that box breathing. But also I think it's always remembering curiosity. It's one of the values of Kids Express. If you're curious about why somebody is doing something in a particular way, why something is continually occurring, why you hit brick walls all the time, being curious about it and using a sense of, I'm really curious why that is happening in your life, or why you were choosing that, rather than, will you just tell me why you're doing that? Sometimes it's all about your tonality and how you actually direct that. So using that word curiosity, I tell parents to use it all the time, because there is no judgment when you're curious. If you're truly curious about getting to an outcome together that is beneficial to both, and that is incredibly powerful. I think realizing as well that the impact, what we may perceive as an adult is not a big deal, can be a really big deal to a child. How the child perceives that, how a child's labeled that, whether it's, you know, getting bullied at school, whether it's starting a new school, whether it's your best friend isn't talking to you, don't dismiss a child's feelings and emotions as being less important than either your own or another issue the child might have that you perceive as a greater issue. Being able to honour that issue that the child brings is incredibly important. Understanding that how you as a teacher, and this is where the education, being trauma-informed and educated, is really important. Understanding that your reactions as an adult, your responses as an adult, you can re-traumatise or make that situation worse. Understanding your physical presence, how you use your voice, how you use your body, again, how you ask a question, how you continually sit in that space, how you can reflect, well, I know you're saying that, but I've noticed you seem really distressed when this happens in the classroom or this happens at home. Actually acknowledging what the child's behaviour or the young person's behaviour is bringing is also really important. So I can't emphasise enough, we at Kids Express run our foundational workshops in the trauma-informed approach, understanding how you as an adult can not only reinforce the negative behaviour but also re-traumatise in some way, can be a huge change point for a caregiver or a teacher, etc. Just understanding that better. And we've had so many examples of people saying to us, oh, I thought I was doing the right thing, but what they were really doing was managing the behaviour and they were actually making it more difficult for the child to either connect, to learn, and to feel safe. So again, that education piece is incredibly important.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I find that a few things you mentioned there are key, and things that I notice all the time around, like the language you use, like really being intentional with the language you use. But also, like you said there, with teenagers, a lot of the time things can be minimized, because a lot of the time parents or whoever it may be can just go, oh, well, that's not a major issue. You know, you'll move on. That's fine. But the reality is, like, in that moment, if people out there who are listening in can cast their minds back to when they were teenagers or, you know, young adults, like, things feel so much more emphasized and heavier when you're younger, because your world is your peers, you know, your world is what's happening at school, and them not connecting with their best friend anymore, that could be a major point. That could be traumatizing, potentially. Like, trauma doesn't necessarily have to be trauma, you know, or traumatizing. It can be an adverse experience that is then, you know, internalized as trauma and an experience of, you know, abandonment or disconnection, whatever it may be.
Oh, Dan, I absolutely cannot. I feel like we're speaking exactly from the same handbook. The number of times I've had conversations with really influential people who don't understand the importance of childhood, or even sometimes adolescence, and they'll say to me, oh, but Margot, kids don't really remember. So don't we just wait and see if there is an issue, and then we'll throw money at it when they're older? And the thing that amazes me, Dan, is the one thing we've all been is we've all been children. So whether we've had one adversity, and I think, you know, adversity in life is important because it helps us build our resilience. And many of us have had multiple adversity and trauma in our lives. We know that with the ACEs study, once it gets over 4 of significant adversity and trauma, we know that has dramatic impacts in terms of not just our mental and emotional health, but also our physical health. And when we know that, we can't dismiss childhood as, oh, we won't remember. And again, I just go, it just amazes me. It's the one thing we've all been. We've all been a child. So how can we, when we are the adult, then dismiss childhood as being so unimportant to the adult that child is, that adult, that child that's sitting in front of us, the adult that they will be in the future? So I think it's so important. And again, I go back to the title of your podcast, The Power of Showing Up. We as adults not only have to show up for our children, we have to be vulnerable and say, we know the impact of adversity and trauma on our own lives, and we need to curb that. If we keep looking at, you know, even in suicide prevention, if we only ever look at that in adulthood, it's only ever going to be as difficult as it is today, if not more difficult. We need to be focusing on childhood.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's so important. You did touch on some of the practical approaches or practical ways that our audience out there can be present, be with someone who has experienced trauma or who has had some adversity or who, you know, might just need a little bit more connection or understanding. But in the terms of, like, putting these approaches into place, like, have you got any more advice or guidance around even just creating a safe space so that that can be fostered?
So the first thing, and I'm probably repeating myself, Dan, but the first thing is your own self-care. So you can't support somebody, whether it's in a professional sense or in a personal sense, a family sense, in a friendship, you can't support somebody, particularly in many of these circumstances. It's not a one conversation. It's many conversations, not just over days. It can be over weeks. It can be over months. And for some people, it's for years. So self-care is incredibly important. And yes, there's routines around, you know, chocolate bars, all those lovely things, but it's also getting the professional support and help, whether that's individually with a counsellor or therapist or whether that's in a supportive group. That's incredibly important. So I cannot emphasize enough the need for self-care, because that self-care will allow you to be able to be consistently calm and relaxed and focused on that person without doing your own rhetoric in your head. If your cup is empty, it's going to be very difficult to be in an empathetic state consistently with that person and not be in a sympathetic state, which can bounce back and forwards. Because if you're constantly in a sympathetic state, it's very difficult to long-term sit in an empathetic state for that person, because it has to be about that person. It can't be about comparing their life to somebody else's life. It's really been able to sit consistently. And so been able to be focused and present in that moment and forget about everything else. And as hard as that is, that's probably the hardest thing to do. It's actually being consistently present and focused on that person and being predictable, even having a routine. And this is some of the things I think in terms of that prevention as well. When you have children or young people, is sticking to a routine. That includes having conversation, is being curious about somebody's day, being curious about somebody's behaviour. It's not just a one-off conversation on a Sunday night. It's a constant invitation to a conversation. We know that young people often don't engage in that, but what they do tell us is that somebody important to them constantly and predictably opened up an opportunity for there to be a conversation, or not a conversation, a connection, which is equally important. So always be, think about what those rituals in life can be. Rituals, and by life I mean, is it family, is it friends, is it in the classroom, is it in the school environment? What are the rituals that become really important? And make sure you predictably show up. Again, the power of showing up. You show up in a way that is non-judgmental, that is curious about other people, and that you have the time and the space to do that. I think one of the things that I get concerned about, particularly with professionals, is particularly at the moment, we have this sense of pressure because there's so many people seeking help. The worst thing you can do is say or show somebody, I don't have time for you right now. If you're going to invite a conversation, make the time. Be focused, be present. That is trauma-informed. Stay curious. Look after your own self. Make sure you have enough self-care to be able to have that space. Don't stretch yourself so thin that you're unintentionally giving the message to young people, I don't really have time, or your issue isn't big enough for me to deal with at this point in time.
Yeah, it's so important. You know, me being a counsellor and working in the school system through RAISE, like, I mean, a lot of our mentors are phenomenal and they're very present with their students and you can see the impact that makes. But, you know, straight when I'm in a setting where I can see that a parent, for example, is not present with their child, you can see the difference that makes. You can see the body language shut down. You can see that the trust has been broken. And, you know, that's not allowing, like you said, that space, that's not allowing that connection and the opportunity for that child or adolescent to feel like they can, when they're ready, open up. Because a lot of the time, like you're alluding to, it's not going to be the first time you ask that question. It's not going to be the second, potentially. It could be 5, 10, even 20 times. But it's that consistency. It's the fact that they know that if they need something, you're available and that space is ready for them.
Sometimes, Dan, it might, you know, it can be difficult, right, in a really busy school environment, is saying, I'm going to turn up every day for 10 minutes. And I'm going to be present for you at this time. And they might come to you or they might not, but I pretty much guarantee if you consistently do that, even if they don't, they've noticed that you cared enough to do that. And I think that sometimes means more to some in those very initial, in terms of help-seeking behaviour, is somebody's consistently showing up for me in so many ways that we can do that. As a parent, sometimes it's about saying, I'm going to put my phone down and I'm going to turn it up the other way for 10 minutes before dinner. And that 10 minutes can mean the world to a child and can significantly change how somebody engages within family and how they feel that they're being valued. And I think that's one of the challenges we all have now is we're constantly on devices. There are times we need to put those down. We can connect through those, but there's times we need to put them down to connect human to human, face to face, or side by side.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's what I was going to say, the side-by-side approach. Like if you're finding that you're creating this space where I guess the expectation, or maybe not the expectation, but the space that you're cultivating is a space where your young person can come to you and talk, potentially for a lot of people, especially males out there, that might not be a comfortable space. So, you know, creating a space, like you said, a device-free space where maybe you just do something together, whether that's cooking dinner together, whether that's looking after the garden together, whatever that may be, but creating that space where there's quality time, where the focus is purely on that young person and not on something else. Because it's so clear to me how attuned young people are, but people in general, but especially young people, they can really pick up on these little nuances when you're not present with them.
Yeah, exactly. And I also go back to, you know, who needs to be trauma-informed? We all do. Every single person does. I think, you know, whether you're, whatever your connection, whether you're a coach, whether you're a gardener, whatever it is, us all, or society understanding what trauma-informed actually is and how young people are trying to communicate with us and connect with us, you can be a significant changer in that person's life. You know, the research says a child only needs one person to consistently show up, and not for a huge period of time, but consistently show up, and that can be the game changer for a child. That can be the person. And I think, again, going back to that comment around adults, we remember that one person in our life that consistently showed up. And it might have only been for 6 months, might have been for 12 months, but we knew what that feeling was like to be valued, to have that connection, to feel safe with that person. And so be that person. To be that person, we all need to be trauma-informed and understand how our brains as children really work and what our children are really trying to communicate to us.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So just for the audience listening in, can you tell us a little bit more about Kids Express and the approaches that you take?
So Kids Express, I founded Kids Express back in 2005. We are a trauma-informed, we're a children's mental health organisation. We provide trauma-informed expressive therapy, as well as we provide trauma-informed training and education. So we have a centre based in Sydney in Macquarie Park, where we provide individual dyads, so adult and child together, and group therapy to children, as well as we provide parental support around circle of security, tuning in for kids. But we also have programs across Sydney where we have a dedicated school partnership model where we work in a whole school approach. So we have a team of expressive therapists who provide individual group and classroom support. And then we also have our trauma-informed consultants that are working with the leadership of the school and all the adult community of the school to really ensure that a whole school approach around trauma-informed is deeply embedded in the school. And then we provide the expressive therapy to the schools. So this is, as an organisation, we have invested a lot, Dan, right from the very beginning in terms of evidence and research and impact. And we know that globally best practice is this whole school approach that not just supports the school community, but supports the whole community at large. Again, making sure that everybody is trauma-informed and the children get the right access to support where they can access support.
Yeah, that's great. And so for people listening in that might have resonated with something or feel like they'd like to tighten up their skills on being more of a trauma-approached, carer or whoever it may be, do you have some places that people can go? Like, how can people find Kids Express, and are there other resources out there that you would recommend?
Absolutely. So obviously they can come to our Kids Express website. We do provide both our foundational workshop, which we can provide online and in person to all, everybody and anybody. We do have those available. They can be a three-hour whole day workshop. We also have our cost of caring workshop, which again I emphasise the need for self-care and what that looks like, and we run both of those as well. They can all be found through our website. People can obviously connect with us through our social media, predominantly Facebook and our LinkedIn profile. So we're regularly putting articles, education, etc., in terms of what the latest practice and the evidence and the impact is. I think more than ever now, Dan, and again, my gratitude for being part of this podcast, is we all need to connect. We all need to support each other and help ourselves develop our own education and knowledge around our children, who are our future. So I encourage everybody listening today to connect with Kids Express. Ask us questions. Ask us what's next. Ask us what's trouble, what we can do to help you, whether it's you as a parent or you in your school, and what we can do to support. Because now's the time, because we can't afford to wait any longer.
Thanks for joining me today for the Power of Showing Up podcast, brought to you by Raise Foundation, the experts in youth mentoring. Want to hear more about Youth Matters? Subscribe today so you are always up to date on our latest episodes.